You're listening to Artifact Chat, a monthly podcast of curated intersections between America's past and present. This is episode 2, The Vintage Wedding Dress. Hey everyone, Lindsay Griffin here. Welcome to Artifact Chat. If this is your first time, thanks for listening. Artifact Chat is produced monthly for your enjoyment. Show notes, links, and other great stuff can be found at artifactchat.com. Today we're talking vintage wedding gowns redesigned, and I'm here with Christine Engel, owner of Meringue, a studio of curated vintage formal wear in Chicago's Roscoe Village. Christine, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you with us today.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's a pleasure.
So we're on site. We're sitting in your shop. Let's start by giving the audience a little tour. What are we looking at right now?
So we're actually in the front space of the shop, and it actually is where most of the curated gowns are located. I really wanted to design a space that was welcoming, that gave a feel of the vintage elements that we carry in the shop, but also a modern aesthetic. So I really looked for a space that had high ceilings, that was still going to be open and airy, and just gave a sense of romanticism, but still keeping that modern element that I think brides are looking for.
And I love that you use the word romanticism, because I think that's a really good description of this space. There is something that feels very, like, has that very romantic element, so I like that. You opened Meringue in 2013, and I understand that before that, you were in costume design. You even did some productions with the Steppenwolf Theater. And so I'm curious about the transition from costume design to selling vintage formal wear.
You know, I think that's a great question. I worked as a theatrical costume designer for years, so I really designed many plays covering the 20th century fashion using vintage pieces, you know, of those years. And so it was a great transition. I really wanted to take that experience and bring it to my brides. You know, I think that there is something very theatrical about planning a wedding. And I think that even brides nowadays, they're looking to see how they can do something unique, how they can do something different. You know, having a vintage store allows that. Brides are bombarded with so many different images. But I think when they come in the shop, they really know that they're looking at a one-of-a-kind piece.
That's really interesting, and that kind of leads into something that I was wondering about in general. So when a bride comes to your shop, are they educated about vintage formal wear? Do they sort of know what they're looking for? Do they tend to just come in with, maybe I want to buy a vintage dress?
You know, there's a little bit of all of that when my brides come in. Some brides will really have very specific ideas of what they want. They know what vintage means to them. They might have a decade that they like. For example, they might know they want a T-length dress from the 1950s. And I always do a full consultation with the brides, because that is a big thing. For vintage, the word vintage, I think right now, can kind of span a lot of things. It can span a lot of visions for a lot of different brides. So we try to hone in. Is it a specific decade that they're looking for, interested in? Or is it just that overall nostalgic feel? Is it that they're really kind of looking for something that kind of is steeped in history?
The term vintage has so many, as you say, sort of meanings to different mm-hmm. people, especially in our modern society. And so I was curious, how do you define vintage for yourself? And maybe how do you think about the sort of market of vintage that Meringue occupies?
You know, when brides come in, a lot of times they'll ask, or even the guests that are with them, you know, what exactly is vintage in your shop? And we carry gowns from the 1920s to the 1980s. For me, vintage is part of history. It's something that has obviously been around for a while. There's pieces in the shop that are, you know, over 100 years old. And I think that brides gravitate to story, even the insides of the dresses, the person who made it, the person who designed it, the person who wore it, and then the person who saved it all of these years.
That makes a lot of sense. So I'm curious, how much do you know about the histories of these dresses? Do you know those stories?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll get a gown and I'll know a lot about the story, which is really fascinating. Sometimes I'll actually get the wedding photo, you know, at times. At times I've had everything from the slip to the undergarments that are worn. But usually I'll get a gown and I won't know anything about the history. So the first thing is finding a gown and then discovering what the construction of the gown is, trying to kind of break down, you know, what information I can find about the gown. You didn't start to see ready to wear until after World War II. So anything kind of prior to that, a lot was custom designed.
Okay.
So once you really got into the ready to wear that came in after the war is when you started to see things that were going to have a label from a design house. And we do have examples of that in the shop. And there's a few designers that I definitely get very excited when I actually find their gowns. Sometimes they're even, you know, collectibles. Then you know that you do have more information on the gown to share with the bride.
That's really fascinating. I sort of have two questions to follow that up. One is, how often are the brides interested in that information? And how often are they more interested in their own story of where it's going? I mean, how much does that story play a role in their desire to have a vintage gown?
I think that they're interested in the story. I think that brides are really coming in because they're looking for something that is different, that the craftsmanship is there. They appreciate the beautiful vintage laces that you find, the fabrics, the workmanship, just the whole design aesthetic, again, of a vintage gown. So I think that's more important. Mm-hmm. I think that if we know something about the story, that's a bonus. But there's some brides who don't even ask. There's some brides who are definitely more curious than others.
Do you have any really interesting stories or histories of some of the dresses that you've carried in the past or are carrying now?
You know, I have one gown that's just exquisitely designed, and it wasn't necessarily worn as a bridal gown. That's something, too, is not every gown that I have that is sold as a gown to be worn by a bride was necessarily originally a wedding gown. I have a gown that I was really smitten by when I got it because the craftsmanship is gorgeous. It's from the 1950s, and I know that it was worn for a big gala by a general's wife. So I had a little bit of history on that. It's just an incredibly constructed gown from the inside out. It's hand painted. It's incredibly, you know, gorgeous lace and beading. So once again, not necessarily a gown that was worn originally for a wedding, but I think it transcends today to be a very modern, very fresh look for a bride.
Wow, that's so interesting. It never crossed my mind that you would be using gowns that were for other affairs and that they are now being used as wedding dresses. Do you have people who are looking for that specifically, or that just is just something that you are interested in and ends up in your shop and so then it becomes part of the selection available?
You know, I think that is the challenge with running a vintage boutique. There's many vintage gowns that are going to be very beautiful. I have to look at every gown and say, well, it's a very beautiful gown, but is a bride 2016, is this something that she's going to be interested in wearing for her gown?
You talked a little bit before about finding the gowns, and so I'm sort of curious if you can tell us what that process is like. Do people approach you? Are you involved in some way in that you're going somewhere to seek them out? Do they tend to be gowns that have been kept away because they're family heirlooms? Where do they come from?
I really go on the hunt for my gowns. A lot of it goes back to connections I have from the years of costume designing. I was doing a lot of shows a year. I really needed to learn how to find things and where to find them. So I travel all over. Things come from really all over the world. And I think that's what's wonderful is that when the brides do come in, you know, I've already done the editing for them. I've already found things from all over so they can come to one shop. They don't actually have to go out and do the hunting for those pieces.
When you say that you've traveled all over to get these dresses, do you find them certain places and then you make a trip to go and get them? And what's the farthest that you've gone to get one?
It's not necessarily even that I always do the traveling. You know, once again, with having connections, is I have dresses coming from Australia. I have had things coming from Paris, from Belgium, from all over the place. But there are a lot of gowns that were just made here in America. Obviously, it's easier for me to kind of go out across the United States or find those resources first, but I'm willing to look for things anywhere.
Do you find that brides tend to sort of gravitate towards a certain decade, or is it kind of varied?
It's interesting because I've had the shop open for 3 years, and there's definitely been a lot of changes that have happened even from what the brides were coming in and asking for when I originally opened the shop. I think what I'm tending to see is the brides are coming in. This is their day. Where the locale is going to be at has really started to dictate the gown. There's a trend for outdoor weddings, for smaller intimate affairs. So that has really kind of changed. There's a little less fabric that they're wanting to trail behind them. That the 70s have obviously, you know, the bohemian influence has been going, you know, strong for a couple of years. One of the reasons I really wanted to open the shop is I love to work one-on-one with a client, very much like I would work one-on-one with an actor. I like to hear what they're looking for, what it is that inspires their vision for the day. Not necessarily through pictures, but I like to hear what they say. That always really kind of helps me and kind of guide me into what decade they might like. And say, for example, even though they might like something that's very bohemian, we may end up with a 1930s dress for them that paired with different accessories gives that overall look. So I'm not as interested in recreating, you know, a 1940s bride or 1930s bride. Mm-hmm. It's really about taking these different elements and maybe even introducing some modern influences so that they can walk away with a look that's truly unique and authentic to who they are.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about these other accessories and maybe the modern influences you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I know that you sell vintage bridal dresses. What are the accessories, the other items that you feature here and are available when the bride is putting together sort of her look for the wedding?
So our gowns are from the 1920s to the 1980s. Our accessories date back even earlier to the late 1800s. And then we do have vintage veils, but sometimes the veils actually don't wear as well as the gowns. Mm. Sometimes I find that the gown may have been preserved better, but the veil wasn't stored properly. So sometimes I'll get a beautiful gown and the matching veil, but the veil might have disintegrated. So I decided when I opened the store, you know, that it would probably be a good idea to offer a fully customizable line of veils. And I do that by different designers. I do have some vintage veils. Being able to have that flexibility is wonderful. And then our headpieces, I do a lot of custom headpieces. It's a big part of my business. It's really something that I get very excited about with working with my brides. I try to use as many vintage elements in my headpieces as I can, from vintage silk flowers, you know, vintage millinery supplies, vintage feathers. And these are things that really I accumulated with all of my years of designing. So I will deconstruct hats and take apart the millinery and recreate it back into something, you know, fresh and modern. And I find that is, for me, really rewarding because I get to have that one-on-one with my brides and really kind of come up with something, you know, together.
How do you make the decisions about what is going to constitute the parts of the headpiece?
So usually the process is that the bride will come in and meet with me, and I don't necessarily show them, you know, previous work, because I think for me it's really important that we're doing something specific to what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. So once again, I really try to, even before, you know, I start sketching ideas or we start looking at different things, if it's a bride that is one of my brides who bought her gown here, I kind of know some history. If I don't know history of the bride, I like to, you know, I always say, I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but it's really important to me to know where is the wedding? You know, what time of day is it going to be? What is the lighting like? What type of hairstyle? And by going through that process of, you know, talking with the bride, I'm learning more about her. I'm learning more about her aesthetic. I'm learning ultimately what is going to be at least the piece that's going to work for her for that day. It's usually like a, you know, sometimes 3 to 4 consultations to kind of go through that process.
So you have a dress that has belonged to somebody else. How does it become another person's dress? Like, is there some sort of process that a bride goes through, that the dress goes through to become the dress of someone else? Does that make sense, that question?
You know, it absolutely makes sense. Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. And what I found is that there's a real connection with the bride in the gown. Mm. That there's a connection when the bride finds the gown. It's really quite beautiful. And I think it happens so much more organically with vintage. She already knows that she's not the first person wearing this gown. There is something of bringing new life. I think that there's appreciation, I think, that our society has with giving old things a new life and bringing them, you know, out of a closet or out of a box. I think immediately when they decide the gown is theirs, the new journey begins with that bride.
I love the way you describe it as giving something a new life. I think that's just such a wonderful picture. Is there anything since you've opened this door that's surprised you in a really positive way?
The one thing that I'm delighted and didn't necessarily think when I opened the shop is the draw of people from other states, other cities, and even other countries. Mm. Recently had a beautiful bride that came from Sweden, and she bought an amazing 1970s gown. I think she was surprised. You know, she was here for business, and she was just delighted. For me, that's what I think is been the surprise, is the draw from all over. I'm offering something here in Chicago that they may not have. So they're making a destination, and that's been really exciting for me.
So this is the part of the show where we're going to kind of transition. We're going to talk a little bit about an artifact that you have chosen and kind of pick it apart a little bit. So we've got a few dresses in front of us that we're going to talk about. Maybe start by describing the dress in front of us for the folks listening. Tell us a little bit about what it looks like and how it was made.
So the first gown we have in front of us, it's a Cahill of Beverly Hills gown. It's from the 1960s. Tremendous find. It's a silk organza fabric. So really beautiful. There's a 3/4 inch length sleeve, which you found a lot in 60s gowns. And then the bottom skirt of the gown is more of the chiche style, but there's box pleats, which really kind of come crisply into the waistline, which is really quite stunning on. This bride to me is kind of like a town and country bride. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that this dress, which I love, is not a dress for everyone. But that's what I always think is exciting, too, is that when I actually, you know, obtain a gown, I always wonder, I'm so excited to meet the bride who's going to wear this gown. So I think this is a dress that's a great example of that. The length of it is a little bit shorter, which you see a lot of times in the 60s. Our modern eye sometimes, you know, will see things differently. Sometimes we'll think something's a little bit shorter or it's a little bit too full. But, you know, originally that's how those gowns would have been worn. So I think this is an excellent example when we talk about maybe repurposing or redesigning a gown. This gown is amazing as it's designed today. Some brides might want to not have a full sleeve like that, or they may want to have a sleeve, or they may want to shorten it into a little bit shorter. So with this gown, we could shorten the sleeve, or in the back, if they wanted to open it up a little bit, they could V down the back, which I think would be still keeping to the original design and the original integrity, but still giving it a kind of a fresh approach. And, you know, that's the whole tagline, too, for the store is curated vintage for the modern bride.
What sort of wedding would you envision this being at?
Wow. That kind of brings my theatrical designer into me, is trying to figure out the event or the, you know, the bride. So if we were to kind of fictitiously come up with a bride for this, I think this is a bride who is very sophisticated, who might be even having an intimate dinner party. I see this as something where there's a lot of candlelight, glowing, great shoes, very sure of themselves. That's the bride that I think that would wear this dress, and in a very unique setting, but not a large wedding.
When you were imagining what this bride might be like, you talked about her having great shoes. And I'm curious if you would have other recommendations for the accessories that might go with this dress.
So my experience with working with accessories is that sometimes the brides will have a harder time with the accessories or the jewelry, even more so than the gown. I think that jewelry is something that's very personal. I always tell my brides to make sure that you love what's worn on your face, because I think that that's really, it's a personal thing. With this gown, I would say that I would pair it up with something very minimal. The lines are very clean on this dress, maybe a simple tulle birdcage possibly, or just a really great simple beaded belt. I do make custom belts as well. And I've paired this with a beautiful vintage beads. I have like just this wonderful patina and just a simple ribbon tie in the back. Pairs really nicely.
That sounds beautiful. Maybe we can talk about the next dress that you have up there.
So this is a 1950s, very iconic tea-length gown. Just really a simply stunning piece of 1950s design. I love this dress. It's very fun. It's flirty. It has just a cap sleeve. There's a scalloped lace going across the neckline. Comes into a fitted waist. And then you've got this beautiful circular skirt, which you can wear as is, or you can definitely wear it how it would have been worn originally, with a couple of crinolines underneath it. So it's just a really, really fun dress. There's a little surprise in it, is if you look closely enough on the lace, there's actually a little wedding bell pattern. With this tea length, you get this gorgeous lace, which really kind of came back in after the war. You definitely see a lot of laces in 1950s gowns, especially in tea length gown. And this is a Cahill of Beverly Hill gown as well. So, you know, these gowns are always just stunning, exquisite fabrics. And a lot of these things are just not things that you can find today.
Would you do anything to this dress? And what kind of bride do you think might wear it?
So I would not do anything with this dress. You know, there's certain gowns that you can make changes to. And I think that this is so iconically 50s that I don't think that you would want to change anything. I think that this is a dress that either the bride is going to put it on, she's going to probably spin around with that gorgeous circular skirt, and she's going to know it's her dress or not. There are some dresses that you could change, or some tea lengths that you could change even to a strapless. With the balance and the proportion of how the lace is done, I don't think I would make a change to it.
So let's imagine the bride who might wear this. What sort of event might her wedding be? And what, if any, accessories would you suggest to accompany it?
So I think this is a bride who wants to have a really fun wedding. This is a bride who comes in and says that she wants to have a more of a party atmosphere. Just the length, I think, sometimes can dictate that. You know, with tea length, I think this is a bride who wants to get up and dance. She wants to move. She wants to have fun. She wants to have some, you know, freedom at her wedding, and who doesn't necessarily take herself too seriously.
And it's interesting, you mentioned earlier, there seems to be a movement away from having trains and in some ways from those longer dresses. And I've noticed the first two that we've talked about, they don't have trains, they're not to the floor. Are we going to look at one that has a train?
We could look at one that has a train.
We'll see. All right, okay. Well, very beautiful, thank you. What next, you know, do you have in store for us?
Yeah. Well, you know, just to kind of maybe talk a little bit about that, you know, is when you really look at 20th century fashion, there were times, you know, especially in, say, the 20s, where the veil was a very dominant force in the wedding ensemble. It took center stage. And you obviously had very short cropped hair for the women at that time. The dresses were shorter than the veils. Even though the brides, very much like the 20s, may choose to not have a train on the gown, they may opt to have that train actually happen in the veil.
That makes a lot of sense. Why don't you show us the next one that you have there?
So the next one is a great example of a 1930s gown. So in the 1930s, gowns started to be cut on the bias, which is the diagonal grain of the fabric. Okay. And Madeleine Vianney came up with that in the 1930s.
And Madeleine Vianney is a designer,
from the 30s. Yes, okay. From the 30s. Here we have an example of the first time in history that garments started being cut like that. This is very inspired right now. I mean, brides have a desire for this type of cut, this type of silhouette. And what I always love to be able to tell my brides is that, but this is the original. This is an original. It's not vintage inspired. You know, you actually have an original design. And that really excites them when they hear, you know, fashion obviously repeats itself, but there are moments in time where we do see things that were, at the time, I mean, very inventive. In the 30s, I think, were an example like that, of that. So this is a great ensemble piece because you have not only the dress, which is a beautiful V-neck in the back, a high cowled neck lace in the front that's cut gorgeously, and then just a little bit of a sweeping train. So we do have a little bit of a train here for you in this one.
Nice. There we go.
And this is usually worn, I always tell my brides, you have to wear a slip underneath this gown. When you go back to the 30s, you are getting pieces that are a little bit older, and it's harder to find. The trick as well with finding vintage is it also has to be wearable. Mm-hmm. For this gown, we would definitely need to, you know, think about slip, think about undergarments. And that's just kind of overall for vintage. Vintage is different than modern bridal gowns. Really, the garments, the undergarments were worn separately. In modern garments, a lot of times you'll see things are built in, mm-hmm. but for vintage, which is nice because a lot of my brides, they're able to control, you know, what they want. They may buy a 50s dress that was originally intended to have a big crinoline underneath it, but they want something light and flowy, and so they choose not to wear something underneath it.
And are you able to help them find the slips or undergarments that would be right to go with these dresses, and are they difficult to find?
Absolutely. I mean, really, if a bride buys the gown, you know, from Meringue, I really walk them through the whole process. And sometimes if we can find a vintage gown, sometimes even if it's something that we can't necessarily find the perfect piece. I have a bride actually right now, she's borrowing. It's going to be one of her borrowed items from me because we just couldn't find the right piece. And I had a slip that we had been trying the gown on with, and but you can find new slips or new crinolines that will work just fine.
Now maybe we can come up with our imagined event for this wedding dress. Who might wear it and what might their wedding be like?
So this bride, I think, is glamorous, likes the idea that it's an ensemble piece so that they can have maybe a little bit more coverage for the ceremony by wearing that beautiful lace jacket that also has these stunning cutouts at the shoulders. So that it can transition kind of from day to night, I mm-hmm. think, is this bride. And I also think that this is an example where you could pair a really gorgeous veil with this. Mm. You could do something longer. You could do a great custom headpiece with this. You could really take this and carry that 30s style all the way through down to the accessories. You could even pair it beautifully with an Art Deco brooch, tie it off, you know, or pin it off with a beautiful ribbon trailing down the back. Or also, you know, the thing that I love is taking this 1930s dress and maybe adding a floral crown to it and actually maybe going a little bit more bohemian with it. That bride could be totally different. That bride could wear the same ensemble at a destination wedding on the beach, which is, you know, I'm definitely seeing, you know, a more and more.
I think that's sort of a pattern in our conversations, this idea of the bride coming in and having power as she's sort of making a selection, working with you to kind of make changes as needed, add pieces to go with it, but that the dress sort of becomes theirs, even in the process of putting those pieces together. And that's really cool, I think. I don't know if everybody always has that experience mm-hmm. wedding dress shopping, so I think that's really cool.
I think that even goes back to what you were asking earlier about when does this gown that was, you know, had previously had a life, has already been down the aisle, you know, how do you turn that into your, you know, your dress, your new dress as the bride who's purchasing it now for their wedding? And I do see that in the details, in how they're going to wear their hair. More than likely a bride who would get this gown that we're just referencing, the 30s one, they might not wear their hair in a 1930s style. You know, they might do something very modern or very different. I think you use the word, you know, power. And I think that is what I love for my brides, is being able to come in and have an opportunity to be in a shop where they can find that out. And some brides, it takes a little longer sometimes, but I think at the end, you know, I love when they look in the mirror and they know that that is not just a great dress, but that is the dress for them.
Christine, thank you so much for having us and sharing with us a little bit about your shop and the dresses that you create. It's been really fascinating and I've really enjoyed it.
Lindsay, thank you so much. And it was such a joy to be able to share, you know, my vision for Meringue and to kind of, you know, take a step back in time and walk through the history of some of these amazing gowns with you. So thank you.